Judges. We have been going through the book of Judges. In the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of camped on Gideon because he is the one that has the most information given to us in the Word of God about his life and about his role as that of a judge. I think we're all aware of the DMZ. You've all heard that name, the DMZ. It's called the Demilitarized Zone. It's really what they call the Forbidden Zone that separates North Korea from South Korea. And I think most of us became well aware of it even more this past week or the last week or so, as many of you have probably seen that amazing video clip of that young man, that soldier, riding that Jeep, driving through, and on his way trying to go to freedom and crossing over, or trying to cross over, the Bridge of No Return. That Bridge of No Return was used during World War II, or during the Korean War, to exchange prisoners. But as he was driving to the Bridge of No Return, the Jeep got stuck. He ran out, and as you've seen, they shot him several times. He made it and is still alive. As you think about the DMZ, one of the things is I looked at that. I'm amazed, though, at how many. That could be a very fatal zone there, because there are a lot of landmines that have been just thrown out indiscriminately in that zone between the north and the south. And as I looked into some other history too, there amazed me that there are a lot of landmines in other countries that have been left there after battles. Throughout the world today, many war-torn countries, once the war is over, there is an ever-present and ever-ongoing danger of these mines. Angola has approximately 20 million of these mines. Afghanistan has 10 million. Cambodia, 4 million, and on. The point is this, that the war may be over, but the dangers have not disappeared in those areas. Father, we pray that you would help us now as we look to this life episode of Gideon, that you would help us to understand that we need to be on the alert in our own lives as believers. Help us, Lord, to be aware of the spiritual dangers that are around us and are lurking and waiting to try to minimize our faith and also to weaken our impact for Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a Scottish pastor who said, "Let the watchful be as alert after the victory as before the battle." I think that's all summed up well with what Peter gives us. We're to be on the alert. Peter says that you are to be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. I think this was the counsel that Gideon would have needed after he had overturned the Midianites. We studied the great battle last week. We've seen, if you've been reading through, tremendous victory on the part of the Lord for Gideon. But you know what? Gideon's problems weren't over, and so he needed to be alert. I think as believers, this is the counsel that we need, and I hope that we hear today. In our Christian lives, it is often after a tremendous victory that Satan will lie in wait to bring us down. Tremendous victory. And then Satan lies in wait after that victory to bring us down. That's when I believe we are oftentimes most vulnerable. And we have to be aware of his demise and his scheming, if you will. One of the things that we see here about Gideon that's interesting is that he has a gentle answer. I want to take a look at that a little bit. A gentle answer. How we respond to people, how we communicate to people is very important, because it says a lot about our life as a believer and how we respond to them. When you look at verses 1 to 3, in fact, we'll read this. The men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this thing you have done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian?" They contended with him vigorously. He said to them, "What have I done in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has given the leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, into your hands, and what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him subsided what he said when he said that. What we have here in these three verses is basically that Ephraim, a very proud brother tribe to Manasseh, which was Gideon's tribe, had basically their nose bent out of shape. They were very upset because they were not invited to go at the beginning of the battle to fight against the enemy. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever gotten upset or gotten mad because someone did not ask you in capital letters to do something or to help out? Did you ever get your nose bent out of shape because somebody didn't think of you? Well, after all, we reason when we do that. How could they possibly get along without me? That's what Gideon was going through. That's what the men of Ephraim felt like. They felt left out. They felt miffed because they were not called to be able to be a part of that. Very immature when you think about their response. It's interesting to note that they became very miffed after they had helped to capture and kill the two Midianite kings. They didn't complain about this until after the battle was over. Here's the key that I think is important. Sometimes in our lives, we can mask irritation in our own wounded pride. But you know what? Eventually it will resurface. And if we don't handle it properly, it will create problems. You know, it was God's wisdom that they weren't invited in the first place. I thought because they probably would have gone home and pouted after they were told there would only be 300 men who would carry out the battle. God knows our hearts, and sometimes our hearts can be very proudful, can't they? And it's that pride that can get us into trouble. And Satan will use that pride oftentimes as one of those things to bring us down and to destroy us. He knows our hearts, God does, and he often leaves us out in order to deal with our pride. When the men of Ephraim should have been thanking Gideon for delivering the nation, they were criticizing him. As a victorious general, and here's the key about Gideon, he was a national hero. Gideon could have used his authority, and he could have used his popularity with the tribe to just go ahead and say, look, I don't really care about you. It doesn't make any difference. I already won. We've won this thing. Too bad. I'm sorry. But you know what? God's counsel and the Word of God is something different than that kind of an answer. Here's God's answer to that. A what? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's from Proverbs 15:1. And here's another one. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I'm sure that Gideon's immediate feelings and thoughts when the people from the other tribe came to him were not polite. I'm sure he thought that. We can think those things. But he proved that he could not only control an army, but he could control his own temper. He controlled himself, and he treated those people with kindness. It's sad when brothers in Christ declare war on one another. I don't know if you have that problem in India, where people in the body of Christ fight with each other. You know what? That's one of the tools that Satan will use. He'll use that in any kind of a church, any local body. He will bring about division in the body of Christ in any way he can. And he'll have one of them declaring in war on another after they stood together to fight the enemy. The psalm says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to do what? To dwell together in unity. Gideon basically swallowed his pride and told them what they did was greater than what his men had done. Now, I think there might have been a little bit of a hint of flattery in there someplace. Okay? Could have been that. But it did restore peace. And it brought about a strengthening of a bond between those two tribes. And Gideon was then able to move on. There are times in our lives where I think this is what we need to do. We need to be able to swallow our pride for the sake of peace. How many times do we want to assert our authority? How many times do we want to let people know that we're right and they should know that? And that's what gets us in trouble. The proverb says, the beginning of strife is like letting out of water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Better to walk away from a situation that could create a heated argument than to be right and to win your point of view. especially among believers. Good counsel for all of us. God wants you and me to be peacemakers. In fact, he says those who will be a peacemaker will be blessed in Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers. I think Jesus was our most perfect example of this. He didn't get angry. He didn't lash out and say to you and me, you're all sinners and you deserve nothing. No, he demonstrated his own love for you and me in that on the cross, he died for us while we were still sinners. Follow his example. Be careful about your answers to people. Another thing is a harsh warning and consequences that we're going to take a look at. In the Middle East, this is verses 4 to 17, and hopefully you're reading these along, as I've asked you to do. In the Middle East, hospitality is one of the laws, and custom demands that the people meet the needs of strangers and especially relatives. I don't know if that's practiced in India. The aspect of hospitality, is that practiced in India? It is in the Middle East a lot. And it is a law, and it is actually something that is expected. You take care of people. The Bedouins are very, very strong on this. If you're out there and you come through, and even if you might be an enemy, they will still take care of you. They will feed you and water you. That's how strong this was. That's how much these men of these particular two towns, how much they blew it when they did not respond to Gideon's call. He asked them, would you give us some bread? My men are hungry. We've been traveling. We've been fighting. Would you give us some bread? And they basically said no. In fact, their answers were that of derision and ridicule. And so that's why we need to understand hospitality is something that was very important during those days and should have been followed. Hospitality is a prevalent ministry in the early church. We see that over and over again. And if you study, in fact, I'd like to do a study on hospitality sometime because it's very important. It was practiced in the early church. It's what God wants us to be doing, to reach out. It's also something that God wants in my life and in yours as well. Helping a hurting or hungry brother is an opportunity to serve the Lord himself. So Gideon, in his way, he politely asked the men of Succoth and Phinehas. There are two towns there. And all these men refused. And he politely asked them, they needed this. But you know what? The men of these two cities were fence straddlers. Let's take a look in verse 6. In Judges 8. And the leaders of Succoth said this, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hands that we should give bread to your army? In other words, I don't see these guys. Where are they? Have you won? What happens if you don't win, Gideon? Then we're going to be on the wrong side. They'll find out we took care of you and we're going to get killed. When you think about these people, when you think about what they were really saying, The men of both cities were what I would be calling fence straddlers. They wanted to make sure of who was going to win before they took sides. They basically said to Gideon, no way, dude. There's no way. You haven't beaten them yet. And if you lose, they're going to come back and it will be miserable for us. And they're going to hurt us. They did not see feeding a brother as an opportunity to show love. And it was a risk that they did not want to take. Their answer was one, as we read, of derision and insolence. Sometimes, here's the key for our own lives and our own hearts. Sometimes it's not merely what you say, but how you say it. Remember, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Kindness in your voice. When you say something to someone, do you say it in a kind way? Or is your tone harsh? Because they can pick up on that. When we look at this aspect, these people missed an opportunity to serve. And there's a principle here for us as well. And they were not willing to stand up for what was right. Here's the principle for you and me. There are times when standing up for what is right as a believer, and what's doing the right thing in God's eyes may seem like to you and me something that's a very high risk. But that takes commitment. I am just humbled by the difference that we see in our culture and the culture of India as far as believers. Here in America, if you say something that is about Jesus, oftentimes people may take an offense and they will get upset with you. But in India, if you do that, if you talk about Jesus, especially in the northern area of India, it could mean your life. That's the radical difference. But the point is this: are we willing to take the risk, to be willing to stand up for what's right, to be willing to stand up for Jesus Christ and his principles and the Word of God, or are we a fence straddler, waiting to see how it's going to serve us? Oftentimes in elections we see that, where there's this fence straddling to try to find out what's the best advantage. There are times in your life and mine when we will be given the opportunity to stand up for doing what is right and to do something that may not always be popular. Well, Gideon warned both cities. If you go through and you read the text, he would return and he would discipline them. That's exactly what he did. He led the captured kings before those men who ridiculed him. And then the people of Succoth, he found the leaders and he beat them with thorny branches and with thistles. And the people of Peniel, he tore down their tower and he killed them. Man, you think, that's awful harsh. No, you have to understand that they were rebelling against the authority of God. They rebelled against God's man. And that was the consequence for their insolence and their rebellion. The other thing I want us to see this morning is be careful. Be careful what you ask for. And when you come to verses 22 and through 32, there's an interesting thing that takes place here. The first thing that we're going to take a look at, verse 22, after all this is done, after everything is taken care of, here's what happens. The men of Israel said to Gideon in verse 22, rule over us, both you and your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. Gideon was so popular that what they wanted to do now was to make him their king. And their request was really a revelation of where their heart was. They wanted to be what? They wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to look good. They wanted to be able to say to people around them, look, we have our own king. We're just like you. Oftentimes, Satan will do that. Don't you want to look like the world? Don't you, you know, you're acting like a Christian and you're standing way out there all by yourself. But you know what? You look kind of dorky. Why don't you just give in a little bit on this particular principle? And just go ahead along with the crowd and just follow them. Well, that's what was going on in this situation. They wanted to be like other nations. And they wanted to have a powerful and a prestigious king. The only thing that they forgot was what Gideon reminded them in the next verse. Look at verse 23. Gideon said to them, I commend him for this. I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. Here's the key. The Lord shall rule over you. You see, I believe it was never, never in God's original plan for the nation of Israel to ever have a king. We know that they did because God allowed it, and we saw the things that happened. But I think God basically wanted himself to be their ruler. That's what God wants in your life and mine. He wants to be totally the Lord and ruler and king of your life. That's what he's asking of you today. Gideon would not take the place of God. Moses earlier warned that Israel would one day want a king like other nations and forget that they had the Creator, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, as their own Savior and King. God wants to be the only one who rules in your life and mine. Is he doing that? Or are you on the throne of your own life? Even as a believer, that's one of the things that Satan would love to prowl about and to get you to do. Be the, you know what, have it your own way. That's the mindset today, isn't it? But God says, no, I want to be ruler. Then Gideon requests gold. Kind of an interesting thing. I'm not sure of the dynamics here, but in the next section here, he asks for gold. Verse 24, Gideon says to them, I want to request of you that each of you give me an earring from his spoil. For they had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they said, we will surely give them. So they spread out this giant garment and they begin throwing in a portion of the spoils that they had. Now, the Midianites wore these in their ears and they wore them in their nose. So you get the picture that they weren't really very careful about removing them from the bodies of those dead men. But they had this huge mound of gold. So they throw it all on this, they throw part of their spoil onto this little rug. They gave Gideon, when I figured this out, they gave him what would be approximately 40 pounds of gold. Now if you calculate that out, at about $1,288 per troy ounce, which is the going rate today, or at least when I did this calculation. $1,288 per troy ounce, that's approximately $750,000 worth of gold in today's money. I also went ahead and I figured out the worth of what I'm worth in my weight in gold, and it's about $3.5 million. Isn't that awesome? I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to let you do the math. Okay. Here's the problem. The problem wasn't that Gideon got the gold. It's the problem of what he did with it. It's what he did with it after that. He made it into an ephod. You say, well, big deal. He made it into an ephod. What's the problem with that? An ephod was something that was a garment that was worn over the shoulders, and it was typically made of gold, of solid gold. And it was a garment that would be placed over the shoulders of a priest. And it hung over the shoulders and down the chest, and this garment symbolized seeking guidance from God. The only problem was that it wasn't used specifically for that, and it soon became an idol. It soon became something that the people worshiped rather than worshiping the true God. And so here we have Gideon, who went through this tremendous battle, who saw God work in a mighty way to have 300 men rout out 135,000 men and their camels and their chariots. And here we have this man, this tremendous battle, and then boom, he falls back into a situation. Gideon missed an opportunity. It became a snare for him. Gideon missed this opportunity to bring in about his nation to return to God. Now, God had told Gideon earlier to destroy his own father's idols. He did not do that. Instead of continuing to do so and bringing the nation back to the Lord and in obedience to him, Gideon used it for his own good. And the nation, because of that, would eventually lapse back into sin. You and I never know how much our actions or our words or the things that we do and say, how much of an impact it will have upon people if we're not following the Lord the way we should. It could have consequences. Parents, your children, if they are not seeing a godly person or godly man or woman in their lives, that can have tremendous impact upon their lives. I think it's a blessing that these young children, some of them may not ever trust Jesus Christ. We don't know, in the orphanages. But how much of an impact that is having upon their life. They would have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ without these orphanages. But that impact upon their lives and hearing about Jesus at a young age can have tremendous effect upon them. Oh, that we would be responsible to make sure we're not missing opportunities that God gives us. Gideon thought his family would do well, but the opposite proved true. Later on, we're going to see in closing, 69 of his 70 sons, he had 70 sons, 69 of them would later be murdered by their half-brother, who himself would also die by a woman dropping a stone on his head. Gideon forgot that God wanted him as well to serve and obey only him. And so he serves as an example for us here today, that there is no security, in apart from following the will of God. God will protect you, he will keep you, he will enable you, but there's no security unless you're walking in his perfect will. Matthew 6:33, principle is what we should all be well to do to follow. And that's this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, if you're walking and allowing God to rule in your life as Gideon should have all the way through to the end, then God will give you his protection and his care. May not be the way you'll think about it, but he will be there with you. And also, be careful to do this. Be careful not to allow the pride of life and the things of this world to become a snare to you and to take you away from allowing God to be the ruler of your life. Believers, we need to always be on the alert. We can look at Gideon and we can say, he should have known better. But how about you? Have you had some kind of a tremendous spiritual battle going on recently? Have you had tremendous victory? Has there been something in your life that God has really encouraged you with? Or maybe you're going through a time right now where you're going through a very deep trial. Maybe there's something in your life that's happened that has radically changed your life. This is also a time where you need to be on the alert, because that's a time where Satan can use his schemes to draw you away in your weakness from following the Lord fully. Be on the alert and have the victory in Jesus. Father, we thank you for the things that you give us, counsel and wisdom that we can learn from these men in the Old Testament for our own hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to be on the alert. Help us to be ever mindful of the things that you're doing, and that we might trust in you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.